I know that some individuals who have deeply committed themselves and probably incurred the political enmity, at least of the president-elect, are already sore on this head. Considering the probability that Mr. Adams' course of administration may force an opposition to it from the Republican quarter, and the general uncertainty of the posture which our affairs may take, there may be real embarrassments from giving written possession to him of the degree of compliment and confidence which your personal delicacy and friendship have suggested. And what Madison is stating here is that the Republicans are not planning to run to check the Federalists. They're planning to run to win. And Jefferson has placed himself at the head of that party. It's his responsibility to lead it to victory. Well, Jefferson and his opposition are placed in a very precarious position by developments in foreign policy, specifically two events, the XYZ affair and the outbreak of the quasi-war. The XYZ affair was a diplomatic embarrassment between the United States and France. As the war between France and Britain intensified, both sides began to attack American shipping, but the British much less so, because we had a treaty with them, the Jay's Treaty. The French really begin to attack us in great measure. Well, one of the things Adams does is dispatches three diplomats to try and resolve all differences in the winter of 1797-1798. And the French minister is utterly unwilling to meet with them. And in fact, it becomes apparent that if they want to get a treaty, or at least meet with the minister to work towards a treaty, they're going to have to pay a fairly substantial bribe. When news of this reaches the United States, the reaction is incredible hostility to France and a sort of patriotic anger at this slight of American honor. And the slogan was millions for defense, but not one penny in tribute. Well, conjoined to this is the fact that although we're not formally at war with France, Adams feels necessary to defend American shipping. So for 2 years, we fight what's known as a quasi-war, an undeclared naval war with France. And it's at this low point that Jefferson summons the best of his political acumen dealing with a crisis which threatens to tar his party with the label of treason. What does he do? Well, first he counsels caution. He suggests the Republicans neither panic nor do anything too extreme. And then he engages in two brilliant political moves. The first is damage, or what we today call spin control. He attempts to dissociate the Republican Party from the French Revolutionary cause. His second is he's cautious, and he knows that the Federalists cannot contain themselves. So he waits for them to overstep the bounds of reason. And when they do, he seizes on two acts, the Alien and Sedition Acts, as a violation of states' rights. And very briefly, the Alien Act dramatically increased the amount of time it took for immigrants to become citizens. It also allowed the president, in time of war, to arrest and deport them on suspicions of spying or treason. The Sedition Act made it a federal crime to defame the government and its officers. And obviously this is meant to attack the Republican press. And I should point something out first in defense of the Sedition Act, which is rarely ever mentioned. It does make an exception for truth. If you can prove that the things you've said against the government are in fact the case, it doesn't apply. Also, almost every state has something like a sedition law. So what's unique about this is that it's being enacted at the federal level. Okay. First, I want to turn to Jefferson's continued calls for optimism and patience. He writes to Elbridge Gerry, "The unquestionable republicanism of the American mind will break through the mist under which it has been clouded and will oblige its agents to reform the principles and practices of their administration." So there's no cause for panic and for extreme actions. And as I've mentioned, he attempts to dissociate the Republican and French revolutionary causes, and in fact goes so far as to insist that any such identification was not in fact Republican, but was the result of Federalist propaganda. He writes to Thomas Lomax in 1799, "The atrocious proceedings of France toward this country had well nigh destroyed its liberties. The Anglo-men and monocrats," that's how he refers to the Federalists, "had so artfully confounded the cause of France with that of freedom that both went down in the same scale. I sincerely join you in abjuring all political connections with every foreign power, And though I cordially wish well to the progress of liberty in all nations, and would forever give it the weight of our countenance, yet they are not to be touched without contamination from their other bad principles. Commerce with all nations, alliance with none, should be our motto.